Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see.
To Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men. Horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget. Never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again. Never forget.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. All right. I guess we're on the air, folks. I apologize. I'm so sorry for the technical difficulties that we've been having. This is our fourth time we've connected and been lost with the station. I don't know what you've heard. Once again, today is Wednesday. It is the 15th of December. And Darren Weeks is our guest this evening. Darren is the webmaster, wonderful webmaster of our website at sweetliberty.org. And I want that known. I want it understood because I know a lot of people send me comments, and I don't know how many Darren gets, but without Darren Weeks, that awesome website would not exist, and that's the way it is. Tonight we're going to be talking. Shoot, I forgot to flip my tape back on, Darren. We're going to be talking about the Blue Beam Project, folks. The holograms, the technology that exists and has existed, God only knows for how long, really. And Darren has, as I told you last night, it has been a subject that has intrigued him and concerned him, of course. And so I decided that we should discuss this and that you have the benefit of the research and reading that Darren has been doing on it. Darren, thank you so much, honey, for joining us this evening. Darren, I do not believe this, folks. I do not believe this. Darren was on the line with me when I connected up, and it looks now that he is not here. When Alan Watt was with us, he couldn't hear me talking. I have a feeling that Darren might even still be on the line. And what that means, folks, is I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to disconnect here again so that we can get Darren back with us. And please don't go away. Please hang in there. And Nicholas, if you're there, please play some music while I give this another try. Please. Thank you. Are you there, Darren?
Anything changed at sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget. Never forget what they have done. The time will come.
Let's see, are we on the air now? Yeah, we're on the air now. Okay, I'm going to call her on my other line and let her know that you're on waiting for her. Okay, but go ahead, you're on the air.
All right. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Darren Weeks, and I'm the guest tonight, but Jackie Petru will be joining us momentarily. And as Jackie was saying, today is the 15th of December, 2004. And it's good to have you joining us tonight. Tonight what we plan to discuss is the situation involving a possible UFO attack. You know, you hear all the time on these late-night talk show hosts talking about the possibility of life in outer space and the situation involving that. And would these people be friendly, if, and we use the term people loosely. Tonight what we're going to discuss is not to sensationalize things, not to tantalize you, not to entertain you. This broadcast has always been to inform you and to expose the controllers' plan to implement their agenda, and that's what our goal and our desire here is today. And hopefully Jackie will be joining us to have this discussion here momentarily. Let me give you a little background. Hey, Jackie. I'm on the air right now. You can call the network. Yeah. I know. I quit hearing anything, and we got disconnected. But we're on right now. If you call... Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Sorry, folks. We don't know what's going on here. Maybe somebody somewhere didn't want us to have this discussion. We've been having a little problems. I have my own broadcast on this network, First Amendment Radio, on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern. And we were having a guest last Monday night, and we had a little bit of a problem with the phone line as well. The guest was trying to call in. Nicholas was sitting by the phone, and yet the phone never rang. It never connected. It's a wonder in this day and age, with modern communications being what they are and subject to tampering, that we can even do this today. But it seems like these free speech outlets like First Amendment Radio, you know, this is last best hope, folks, for freedom of expression, freedom of speech. I mean, truly a non-controlled media enterprise. And that's the important thing. So I say support this network, support this broadcast, Sweet Liberty with Jackie Petru, because it's so important that this broadcast stay here, and we'll be given the address. The address is Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Miller Ton, Pennsylvania, 16936. Again, that's Jackie Petru, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190, Miller Ton, Pennsylvania, 16936. It's very important that you support this network as well. FirstAmendmentRadio.com is the web address, the direction to support them, the address, and all the information there is at their website to support them as well. Very important to support truly uncontrolled free speech, folks, because you won't get this kind of information anywhere else. I guarantee that.
That's for sure.
Anyway, I answered that phone call from Jackie. She'll be connecting here shortly.
Darren, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, you are here. Okay.
Oh, this is so nuts.
Well, I had a little difficulty here tonight.
I know. It's the same thing happened to last night with Alan and I, and then... last Monday we had a chain of events that was unbelievable, and I talked with Alan because, he and I were thinking we were on the air for 20 minutes and 25 minutes, and we weren't. And yet we were connected up someplace, and I'll tell you why, because at the end of that half hour, I said, let's disconnect and reconnect, see if we can get rid of the static and call back in. So I didn't know it, you know, but they were already playing music because we weren't on the air, and we didn't have to disconnect. First of all, there was a woman's voice that came out, and I thought it was going to be one of the engineers at WWCR saying, you're okay, you're on the air, but her voice was cut off. And the next thing you know, Alan and I we weren't disconnected, but we got the recording that said, you know, if you want to make a call, please hang up and try again. So we had been somewhere. We weren't talking into some dead space someplace. I dialed into WFAR. I when Alan and I talked about it today, I said, I wonder if our call just got hijacked to someplace.
You got to wonder. It's difficult to
figure
out what's going on in this day and age.
Twice since then, I've heard a woman's voice. As I'm dialing a number. And it's just it's almost like as if somebody were on a party line.
Uh-huh.
And they started to talk and somebody, put the mute button or something.
Right.
There's some, and it's a female. But anyway, we'll get off that. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're together.
Good to be here, finally.
And did you get a chance to begin with the information? And
what we started doing is I started to explain that this UFO situation has been being built up for a number of years. Of course, we have late night talk show hosts constantly ranting and raving about the possibility of a UFO invasion. My thinking on that has been that it's the purpose of a lot of these talk show hosts is to condition the minds of the American people to accept the possibility and even maybe the probability of that happening. Maybe the ground is being made fertile for a future event that could very well be orchestrated by the controllers at some point in the future. Now, that's a big statement to make, I understand, but it's backed up by the fact that they do now have the technology to pull an orchestrated UFO attack off. Now, all you'd have to do is look at movies like Independence Day and movies like that, which where they talk about a UFO attack, portray one on the screen very realistically, and the speech given is a speech about a day where they have to declare their independence, and by doing so, it's just really a mockery of the of you know 1776 and what our founding fathers did when they set up this country. But the idea being that the entire planet must come together. Every country has to come together. We have to put aside our petty differences and unite for the common purpose of fighting this evil entity. And years ago, in the 1960s, there was a report produced. It was called the Report from Iron Mountain on the possibility and desirability of peace. And it was apparently written by Leonard C. Lewin. There's a lot of controversy surrounding the report. Leonard Lewin republished it relatively recently. I think it was in the 80s, that maybe it was the 90s that he republished it. At any rate, the purpose of his republishing it was to prove that it was actually a hoax. And he goes to great lengths during this book, really, to explain why it was a hoax, why they did it, what they had in mind. But when you start reading the report, it actually follows a lot of the things that they're doing today. So really, as Sid Tolbert, who Sid Tolbert did an update on it, which was at the request of Chris Gerner, and Sid points out that the report, whether it was a hoax or not, doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is, patterns of events have followed the direction of this report to a T, so it doesn't really matter. He can say all he wants that it's a hoax. The bottom line is, hoax or no hoax, it's happening right now.
That's like them, the Jews saying that the Holocaust, the protocols are a hoax or a counterfeit.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what...
They apply.
It is happening to the T from a thing that was written 100 years ago.
Now, in this report, I'd like to quote just a brief section here because it's very applicable with what we're talking about. It says, "Credibility, in fact, lies at the heart of the problem of developing a political substitute for war." Now, they're talking about controlling the population. They're talking about the necessity of creating some alternative because with war situations, the population is very easily manipulated. We've seen that with this last orchestrated war on Iraq and Afghanistan, September 11th, of course, being the Pearl Harbor, the springboard for the war on terror, which was planned a long time before, probably at least as early as the 1990s, in my thinking. Why did they leave the war unfinished to begin with? And certainly the early 90s Gulf War continued all the way up until the second phase of this thing. The bombing continued. I've got the documentation of that. But at any rate, the population is real easily manipulated during war times. Everyone is told you have to support the troops, and you also have to support the mission. We've seen a lot of the demonization of people who were critical of this situation. And as George W. Bush himself said, either you're for us or against us. Well, so in this report, they're talking about the importance of controlling the population during wartime, and in the absence of war, what kind of alternatives could they produce to use as a means by which the population could be controlled? So that's the thing he's talking about here when we read this. It says, "Credibility, in fact, lies at the heart of the problem of developing a political substitute for war. This is where the space race proposals, in many ways so well suited as economic substitutes for war, fall short. The most ambitious and unrealistic space project cannot of itself generate a believable external menace. It has been hotly argued that such a menace would offer the last best hope of peace, etc., by uniting mankind against the danger of destruction by creatures from other planets or from outer space. Experiments have been proposed to test the credibility of an out-of-our-world invasion threat. It is possible that a few of the more difficult-to-explain flying saucer incidents of recent years were in fact early experiments of this kind. If so, they could hardly have been judged encouraging. Remember, this was written in the 1960s. We anticipate no difficulties in making a need for a super giant space program credible for economic purposes, even when there is not ample precedent extending it for political purposes to include features unfortunately associated with science fiction would obviously be a more dubious undertaking. Nevertheless, an effective political substitute for war would require alternate enemies, some of which might seem equally far-fetched in the context of the current war system. It may be, for instance, that gross pollution of the environment, and we're seeing that being built up today in a huge way, as sustainable development is being promoted.
Read that again, Darren.
Which part?
Did they say they would pollute the environment?
Yes, it says it may be, for instance, that gross pollution of the environment can eventually replace the possibility of mass destruction by nuclear weapons as the principal apparent threat to the survival of the species.
Thank you.
They said poisoning of the air and of the principal sources of food and water supply is already well advanced, and at first glance would seem promising in this respect. It constitutes a threat that can be dealt with only through social organization and political power. But from this present and from present indications, it will be a generation to a generation and a half before environmental pollution, however severe, will be sufficiently menacing on a global scale to offer a possible basis for a solution. So we're talking about the Hegelian dialectic here, Jackie.
When was we are talking about the report from Iron Mountain, are we?
Right. I was reading directly from the report.
Exactly. That's what I thought. And I forget when this was done, Darren.
This was actually written in the 1960s.
Okay, remember Rachel, what's her name? The Silent Spring. She was one of the first out. It was a book. I remember my dad was just going bananas, about the pollution. And it occurred to me, you think about this. I just want our listeners to really connect this. Because, all the pollution of the rivers, they were terrible. Even when I was young, they were starting to condemn swimming places and things like that. They intentionally allowed the corporations to dump directly into the water. And they allowed it for so long that suddenly, oh, my God, we have to do something. And that was when the EPA was created, Darren.
Right. What was that additive they added to the gas?
MTBE. Methyl tertial butyl ethane or something.
Yeah, they added that to the gas for the saying that it was going to make fuel burn cleaner.
Yes.
And actually what it succeeded at doing, it was a huge environmental disaster, actually contaminated the groundwater in every state of the Union.
I watched actually a documentary on this. And do you know that the EPA knew when they demanded that MTBE, they demanded, mandated that it had to be in all gasolines. They were given information from researchers that this stuff is carcinogenic. Not only that, it is extremely water soluble. If there are any spills, it will find its way immediately. It separates from the gas, and it finds its way immediately into the water table. So that poisoning of the water was done intentionally. And I want our listeners to know this also, to let you know, folks, that even though it doesn't appear this way, the states still have the power. Because Alabama said, we are not going to put MTBE in the gas. Now, I don't know if they're doing it now. But
I believe they finally recanted on that.
Okay, there must have been a big enough payoff or enough blackmail or something going on.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, the only water that was not tainted with MTBE was in Alabama.
Right.
It was because they refused to have it in. So the polluting of the waters was intentional, and we'll look at what they're doing in the air with the chemtrails.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't even know what that is, whether it's weather modification going on. I think a lot of it is. Obviously, they do a lot of cloud seeding.
I think it has multiple purposes, Dan.
Right. Yeah, I do too. I think that we know that they do weather modification. We've documented that. They have their own websites with weather modification permit programs where you can actually go in and apply to modify the weather. I mean, it's right there on the Internet, folks. And so a number of these environmental scenarios are being put in place to manipulate the population into, basically to put a clamp down on you. You can't do anything in a free society without releasing carbon dioxide into the air. And they're labeling carbon dioxide a pollutant. Carbon dioxide, folks, is plant food. You know, the more of it you have in the atmosphere, the greener the earth becomes, and the more plants absorb, you know, in exchange give off oxygen.
Then the more oxygen that the plants create.
Exactly. So, you know, carbon dioxide, but see, by labeling carbon dioxide, labeling it a pollutant, suddenly you have a situation where you can't burn electricity because you burn coal, which puts CO2 into the atmosphere. I mean, you can't drive your car because that puts CO2 in the atmosphere. I mean, basically everything that you can do in a free society is going to release CO2 into the atmosphere, and consequently, they call that a pollutant. You can't do that. See, so it's all about control, and it's all about taking away your freedom, which gets us back to this UFO scenario, because what better way, after seeing the mileage that they get out of this out of the September 11th situation and previous wars in the past, think of the mileage they could get if they were able to successfully orchestrate a UFO attack upon the Earth, you know, upon a major city. In February of 2004, let's see, Popular Mechanics came out with an article. It was a front page cover story, and they called it "When UFOs Arrive." When UFOs arrive, they said, "What will you do?" The U.S. government has a multi-million-dollar top secret plan ready to go. Now, why haven't we heard too much about this? I mean, if it wasn't for this Popular Mechanics article, I certainly wouldn't know anything about it. It says the U.S. and other world governments already have detailed secret plans for first contact. Now, this relates right back to the report from Iron Mountain. So if the Iron Mountain report is a hoax, why are we seeing it? It's fruition being brought about. They say when UFOs land, a series of plans created to deal with nuclear emergencies and biological attacks will be activated. And I hear we're already at the bottom of the hour.
Yes, we are, and I'll be away from the mic for about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Thanks, Darren. You can keep talking to music, but don't talk after when the music...
Right, okay.
Because it drowns your voice out.
All right. I guess all we can say then is we'll be right back, folks, in just a moment.
FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Okay. Folks, I guess we're back. Jackie said she was going to be away from the mic for a few minutes. So we'll continue on with this UFO story from Popular Mechanics, February 2004. It was a cover story. And they're saying, when UFOs arrive, what will you do? The U.S. government has a multi-million-dollar top-secret plan ready to go. They spent all these millions of dollars, and you haven't heard much coverage of this other than in Popular Mechanics. They say, within the scientific community, the question is no longer whether extraterrestrial life exists, but if E.T. is smart enough to do long division. Scientists are of two minds regarding the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence. Skeptics acknowledge simple life forms might be found on other planets, but insist that intelligent life is unique to Earth. So, I'm not going to read all of this because they talk a lot in here and it's pretty lengthy. But the point of the matter is that they're making the case that that life does exist on other planets, and that the government believes that so much that they have a multi-million dollar top secret plan ready to go. Now, how many Americans are struggling to be able to feed their families? How many Americans are losing their home? It's funny, well, it's not funny. It's actually pretty sad. But in the paper today, my hometown newspaper, we had three pages of foreclosures, homes, addresses, and individuals listed that were losing their property because they couldn't afford to pay their property tax anymore. And yet we have a federal government that is spending Federal Reserve notes, which is fraudulent banking notes, but they're wasting on space programs and things, like they say in the report from Iron Mountain, unattainable goals, unattainable objectives. And this situation here, now, you could say, well, what if there really was life on other planets? Well, do we have any evidence of that? Serge Monast, in 1994, he wrote about NASA's Project Bluebeam. We have this document on the sweetliberty.org website. It's in the greatest hoax section. If you go in on the main page and the issues section, there's a pull-down menu. Just click on the greatest hoax. And we have this report. It's called Project Bluebeam, New World Messiah. And in this report, he talks about a program that NASA was working on, and I forget exactly what years they were working on it, but the idea was to create an artificial return of the Messiah in the sky, and this would be projected onto the sky with laser beams, and for the purpose of conveying a message to the population, each part of the world would have their particular religious entity of significance projected under the sky. And I don't know how they would work the audio and everything with communicating, but the fact of the matter is they were talking. Serge Monast was reporting, and he's a French-speaking Canadian journalist, and after he released this report, I guess, Jackie writes, we heard rumors from time to time of harassment against Mr. Monast, and later we heard that he was killed. And now that's unconfirmed. I don't know about that. But the fact of the matter is he writes a very valuable information about NASA's Project Bluebeam and using laser beams to project onto the sky. Now, you could say Serge Monast was a little loony, except that happening across the Internet, doing research, as I often do, I come across the Air Force's website, and you can access this at www.au.af.mil. Actually, you know what? I'll put this link up. I'll have this link up tomorrow on the Sweet Liberty site because it's a rather lengthy URL. But the fact of the matter is, the Air Force is bragging about technology that would make an artificial UFO attack possible, ladies and gentlemen. They have the 5.6 airborne holographic projector, which they are bragging about on the Air Force website. Jackie, are you with me still?
Yeah, I'm back, honey.
Okay, you can feel free to jump in here anytime you want.
Okay, I was away from the mic.
Okay.
And I'm just so glad you're here, and I really regret missing as much as I've missed.
Well, that's okay. We got this archive, so
cool.
You know, it'll be up later on.
So we'll be able to listen to it. I have a newspaper article. In fact, I was looking for it.
Uh-huh.
Do not know where that I filed it, because it isn't under Project Bluebeam or Bluebeam or Serge Monast, but this was an article that appeared in an Australian newspaper, and Darren, this was years ago. And, I mean, it could be at least 7, 8, 9 years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Told about a new technology that they were using in the store windows, and that the people would walk down the sidewalk, and that the jacket and the jeans would jump out and dance around the people. And it looked so real that the people were trying to reach out to grab them. And it explained that it was hologram technology.
There you go. I think this is the thing that caused you to ask me to come on to discuss this subject. I was driving into work one day last week. I believe it was either Wednesday or Thursday that I heard this. I often listen to All Things Considered on National Public Radio because they have, you know, it's a controlled media, but a lot of times a little nugget will slip in there or something that, you know, anyway. I was listening, and they were talking about the sluggish retail sales around Christmas time. And this particular report, they said that these retailers were getting together to discuss how they could possibly compel shoppers to actually buy more things. When they enter the store, what little flashy displays could they have to get the shopper's attention, even if it's for just a minute? And one of the things that they discussed, and they actually had at this retailer's convention, was a holographic projection of nail polish or something above the nail polish or makeup display or whatever it was, whatever the product was. They had a holographic projection of the product floating above the actual product display. And they said, the reporter continued and said that these retailers were actually trying to grab onto this, running their hand through it and saying how cool it was. You know, so if you figure if they can do it on a small scale like that, they can certainly do it with UFOs. I mean, the scenario would be very easy to do.
I want to remind you, I talked about this on the air 3 years ago. I went to St. Louis. That was when Nicole, well, it might have been 4,
mm-hmm.
when she first became very ill, and I spent a month with her. Chuck drove me halfway there, and Jody and her boyfriend picked me up. And it was at night. We were going through Indiana, and she said, Mom, you have got to see this most beautiful thing. And it's a huge cross. Looks like a huge vacant area. And this cross, you can see it forever. At night, it's all lit up, Darren.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it at night, and on the way back, it was daylight, and I said, I wonder what this is. I wonder if this could be part of the Bluebeam project. I wonder if they're establishing these crosses in other areas, but people don't know it because, you know, you're not going to read it in the paper. And I explained, I told them about the Bluebeam project, how they could, you know, project the Holocaust, or the Holocaust, the holograms. And Darren?
Yeah?
About... maybe, I don't know, maybe 6 months later, there was a trip, and I don't even recall the nature of it. Maybe they had brought the children. But anyway, they were driving back home. It was Jody and Nicole, and they had just passed the area because they both said at the same time, there's the cross. And then a few minutes later, Nicole evidently was driving. Jody looked up, and she saw a pyramid in the sky. And she said, Mom, it wasn't a cloud, but it was a perfect pyramid. And but she, so she said, Nicole, look over there and tell me what that looks like to you. And Nicole said, oh, my God, it's a pyramid. But it wasn't a cloud, because she said, you know, it was, and besides that, it stayed there. It had sharp edges. And
where was this at again?
This was in Indiana. And then, Darren, and then right after that, they drove a few more minutes, and there was a perfect five-pointed star in the sky. I asked her if the point was pointing up or down. She said she didn't know. But they knew that it wasn't a cloud, because it had it was so defined.
Right.
But yet there it was up in the air. And Jody said, Mom, I remembered what you told us, and it was right after we passed that cross.
That's really remarkable.
Both of them saw it. But Jody didn't say, look up and see the pyramid, because she didn't want to put something in Nicole's head that, you know, and Nicole said, oh, yeah, it's a pyramid. She asked Nicole, what does that look like? What is that to you? And she said, oh, my God, it's a pyramid.
Yeah, and a pyramid is certainly something that's very important to them, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, it is, and the star.
Yeah, you see it everywhere, including on the back of the dollar bill.
Including the European Union.
There you go.
So
yeah,
that was several years ago, and maybe they were trying out their technology.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Uh-huh.
There's very little that surprises me these days.
Well, you know, Darren, when we were talking that night, and this is, well, for you it's fine, because you're at work. You know, it's the middle of the night, and our conversations get so stimulating that it's like it's in the middle of the afternoon. But one of the things that you said as we were having this conversation is how it brings home to you how truly an illusional world that we are living in. And
we
don't know that anything we're looking at is real.
That's exactly right. It's like almost like this whole life is a hologram.
Well, it
is. And what's real is what's yet to come.
Well, you know what, though? We have to be careful, Darren, because this life that we are living here is very important. What we do here is very important.
I agree.
It is. And Alan and I have had conversations about this on the air. In fact, back in August, and I loved the one broadcast we did. We got into it. Basically, the thing is that because we are all one, because we are all connected in that spiritual realm, that every thought we have affects every single other dimension. Every action that we take affects every other dimension. And I'm like you. I have said so many times, it doesn't matter. It's not real anyway. And even though it isn't, it is an illusion, but we, as spiritual beings, are here trapped in it. As a matter of fact, one of our listeners said this in a way that I had never thought about it, but he said, Jackie, we're trapped in a thought. We're trapped in a thought. Hi, you guys. I'm going to be gone just for about 30 seconds, honey.
Okay. I'll just continue here, folks, with this information that I found on the Air Force website. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, to understand. And the reason we're doing this, by the way, is not to create stimulating radio. As I said before, we're not here to entertain. We're here to inform. And we want to inform you and make sure that you understand that if at some point in the future they come out and say that we have been attacked by UFOs, you can at least keep these thoughts in mind and maybe avoid falling into their dialectic of lies. And that's our purpose in doing this tonight, because I really believe that this has been a plan that they have been orchestrating for us to launch upon the world at some point in the future, so that they can say that every country of the world has to come together to fight this common enemy. Okay? We know that anybody who's read anything regarding the United Nations, anybody who's read any of the documentation, you can go straight to their websites and talk about what they're doing. They're democratizing, quote-unquote, democratizing every country of the world. Well, what is democracy? Well, Mikhail Gorbachev defined democracy as socialism. Numerous others of the World Socialist Movement had defined democracy as socialism or common ownership. And private property falls into this category, as we're seeing the shift of private land for public purposes. The Supreme Court, I understand, is hearing a case very soon about eminent domain, the use of eminent domain, taking of people's private property for public purposes. And this is all a part of the Marxist system, folks, that they're trying to put in place. And doing away with private property rights is one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. As the United States of America is practicing all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, and yet people still believe that they're living in a free country here in the United States. It's a sad situation, knowing that few people actually care enough or are aware. And
I'm back, honey.
That's the situation. I was just about to share this information from the Air Force. And again, we have this at sweetliberty.org. If you go into the website, sweetliberty.org/search, it will take you to our search engine. Just punch in Project Bluebeam, and that'll bring you the Project Bluebeam report. Very, very interesting reading. And at the bottom of it, of that report, I have a link to this information that I found on the Air Force website, saying that they have the technology to project a three-dimensional aircraft in the air for purposes of use for air-to-air combat. They say a brief description of the 5.6 airborne holographic projector. They say the holographic projector displays a three-dimensional visual image in a desired location removed from the display generator. The projector can be used for psychological operations. You hear that, folks? Psychological operations and strategic perception management. It is also useful for optical deception and cloaking, providing a momentary distraction when engaging an unsophisticated adversary.
How would they use it for cloaking, Darren?
I'm not sure. They don't go into detail on that. I really don't know.
Okay.
Unless they have a projector in some other area where maybe they can... I could only speculate on that.
Maybe they could project a blue sky with some clouds or something?
Yeah, possibly.
Uh-huh.
See, all this technology that we heard about on Star Trek, you know, years ago, and even recently, all of it's come to fruition. It says capabilities... Precision, well, I shouldn't say all of it, but, you know, obviously this has capabilities. Precision projection of 3D visual images into a selected area supports PSYOP and strategic deception management, provides deception and cloaking against optical sensors. It says enabling technologies, image 4.1.4 image processing, holographic displays, 10.1 lasers, 10.2 optics, 10.3 power systems, and they have white papers, special and humanitarian operations, and strategic attack. So, again, this information is directly from the horse's mouth, directly from the military, from the Air Force, and we have. And I just checked tonight. It is still up on their website, so you can verify that we're not making this stuff up, folks.
I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's a direct link. Is there any way you can mirror that?
So we already have the actual document posted on our website.
Oh, goody. Okay.
I reproduced it exactly as it was.
Okay.
I saved the page and posted it on Sweet Liberty, and the address we got it from is directly at top.
Okay.
So as long as it stays there, people can check and verify that it's still there. And I wish I had the foresight to post a link to this before I left the house today on Sweet Liberty. But at any rate, it's still there. People can still verify. In fact, you could probably go to Google or something and put in 5.6 holographic projector, and it'll take you directly to the site, I would imagine. But
one of the things I wanted to bring up before we're out of our time, too,
uh-huh.
In the Project Bluebeam report that... Serge Monas did. He explains one of their big, of course, their greatest tools are the religions and the religious figures that, you know, that religions were made around.
Mm-hmm.
But he has predicted, and Betty Mills actually did also, aside from, excuse me, Serge Monast, because they didn't even know one another, is that they will use a religious figure, and the technology exists, we know, so that the way Betty put it, and by the way, folks, Betty's article is in the Greatest Hoax section, and I cannot remember the name of it, but it's in the Greatest Hoax.
Visions and Circles of Power?
Visions and Circles of Power, thank you. And she gives a little scenario. What would you do if you had the TV or the radio on and suddenly an announcement was made? And in every single language, the same announcement is made, but in each area, the language will be in even the dialect of the people in that area. According to Serge Monast, there is a huge computer that has been being worked on forever and fed all the information in Russia, where that every language, even the dialects of different languages, the computer can now do. And therefore, a religious figure would appear. People would get down on their knees. It could be Jesus for the, you know,
for the Christians.
Mother Mary, because there are so many Catholics in so many of the third world countries, the Buddha, whatever. And then the people will do whatever they're told. And so I believe, like Betty Mills did, and obviously Serge Monast, it is so important that you know that this is the technology that exists and the probability that this could happen. And so if it ever does, you know, in the Bible where Jesus said, test the spirits to make, I think.
Mm-hmm. Try the spirits and see if they're of God.
We have to, we cannot blindly, just because we see it or think we see it with our eyes, we cannot blindly believe. And I know that it is very difficult to discern because our heart of hearts would want to believe that it's true. You know now, each and every one of you listening, that if this should ever happen, that it's a hoax. It's a hoax. And it isn't just happening in one area, that it will happen all over the world at the same time.
Yeah, there's no shortage of created crises to manipulate the population into various areas, you know.
If they don't
thought.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think we're talking over each other.
Yeah, we are. I was. If they don't think that'll work, they'll just bring in the big spaceship.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, we've got crises created all over, all around us. This whole life is, well, you said it best when you said we were born into a lie. Little did we realize that everything we're told nearly is, it's all lies.
I know it.
And, man, peeling back the deception, it's like an onion, you know, and deep inside, there is an element of truth. And even in the layers of the onion itself, there are little threads of truth. And that's where discernment comes in, I believe, because...
Oh, yeah.
And that's where, you know, being in contact with our Heavenly Father, our Creator, we're able to ask Him for the truth. And I believe if we seek that, we can certainly... the Holy Spirit can certainly guide us into that direction.
And remember to ask for discernment, folks. And I want to say this again. I've said it before. Jody asked me one time, Darren, because, you know, when she's having a dilemma. And I used to think, being her mom, I had to have all kinds of answers.
Mm-hmm.
I learned quite a few years ago, I don't. And that blew her away when I'd say, I'm sorry, I don't know what you should do. But I keep asking her, have you asked? Yes, Mom, yes, Mom, yes, Mom. And she said one time, I don't understand why we should have to ask. He knows our needs. He knows our hearts. Understanding, I guess, within, if I would say belief, is that the asking is the process of letting go, folks, because it is true. He knows our every thought. He knows our heart. He knows thoughts we don't have. However, the asking, ask for discernment. I prayed for discernment one time, Darren,
mm-hmm.
that was back in 1993, and I kept telling Betty, I just wish they would show up to me, all the phonies, all the deceivers, all the frauds. I wish they would show up in neon lights, like shocking pink, chartreuse green, and it started happening. And basically what it was the intuition.
Right.
That, you know, when I would think something's wrong here, I don't know what it is, but it isn't okay. And Darren, it has never let me down.
That's been one of the hardest problems that we faced in this effort to reveal the truth and to expose the lies is knowing who to believe and who not to believe. You know, I mean, there are so many phonies out there.
And they say so much truth.
Right, yeah, that's the way they get people. They always mix in the truth with the lies and what you call the hooks. And
that's what Phyllis Schlafly called it. The only hook we have to hang our hat on is the right to life issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and also, folks, this when we impart information like this, it is not to create fear. When Alan and I talked today, and he was telling me about a report he has that I want him to share with our listeners, and I said, you know, Alan, sometimes I wonder, imparting this information, does it just cause a horrific fear in people? And he said, no, because it is the truth. He said there are, he named one particular very talk show host. He said his is all superfluous. So he creates a tremendous amount of fear, but it creates a hopelessness and a helplessness. So if you know the truth, I know this is so, as Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. We're out of time tonight. And Darren?
Yes.
Every time I say you're coming on, I have listeners who tell me how great you are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Come back.
And I appreciate all the listeners out there.
And tomorrow night, folks, tomorrow night is Jeffrey Bennett, guest host on Sweet Liberty. We'll see you next Monday. And Darren, thank you so much, Darren.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you. God bless you, folks. Good night.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are the...